Stuart Dew, the Gold Coast Suns coach, has been good enough to join me for Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumont, so they're here to help you get your reno done. Their stores are open at Beaumont Tiles, and what a good time it is to get a little bit of stuff done around the house. Welcome to you, Stewie. How are you holding up? Welcome.
Thanks, Dwayne. Thanks for having me. Yeah, holding up all right. It's a strange time, but we're working our way through it.
What have you been doing coach-wise to do your coaching hours for the day, and what have you been doing to keep yourself sane?
Well, a lot of it's, first of all, just trying to get a bit of a routine. So just a cross-section of stuff where we're contacting players, whether individually or in their line groups or as a whole. Also checking in with staff, obviously, that have been stood down. So that's really important for us. But, jumping into a few of the challenges which the players are doing as part of their program. So there's plenty to do.
And have they been buddying up? Queensland's got a few different rules to what other states have got. You're allowed to play golf in twos in Queensland as well. Have they been doing a bit of that? What have they been doing to keep that contact with each other, even though they've got to keep their spacing and make it fairly sparse?
Yeah, a few guys are playing a fair bit of golf, I think. Weather's been pretty good, you know, up around high 20s and 30s. So, yeah, the boys have been hitting golf course, but also a lot of them live together up here. So in those pairs, yeah, they're getting as much training as they can get done in that environment. So a lot of them, like all teams, have got their home gyms pretty much well set up. But then, yeah, getting out and having a bit of a kick as well.
Do you think it is going to be a little bit of the haves and have-nots when footy comes back, the have-done trainings versus the have-not-done-much training at all if we get back in late June?
You're always not sure. It's a bit like the end of season break, but from what we see, there's a lot of our guys are really motivated and using this time to educate themselves on what's needed and what's required, and we've put a fair onus on our leaders to check in and give them small groups just to make sure that they've been their good role models and checking in. So, but there'll be nowhere to hide, particularly if it's a real quick ramp up to play. We're obviously trying to get the biggest list to be able to pick from and who are well prepared.
So do you think you'd be the team with the largest percentage of players that live together, be it in twos or threes? So that might actually give you some advantage because they are still getting the contact and having a training partner?
Yeah, potentially and possibly. I know in Sydney they have a lot of houses with two or three. So a lot of ours are in twos. We've got a couple of threes. But I think, and they all live in pretty much close proximity. So we've had a couple of times just to tell the boys to try and use different ovals so they don't cross over and make sure that we're, abiding by all the rules that the state government's put forward.
So you might all of a sudden have a situation where 80 of your blokes just happen to turn up at the one oval thinking they're going to do it separately, and there's 8 of the boys there that technically can't get together in a group of 8 and have a chat.
That's right. So they've had a bit of paper, scissors, rock to see who goes to the next oval. So they've done the right thing, and I think they've been quite mature and had a bit of fun with that as well.
You've had a lot of pressure on you from day one to get things right quickly. It's just the Gold Coast Suns situation where everyone wants an immediate result. Do you feel a bit of the pressure was taken off you and taken off the club and taken off your players when the AFL did come out and repeat and state it's 18 teams going forward regardless of the financial situation?
Yeah, and we're obviously very grateful of that. Not that we needed it internally. I think some external stakeholders may have needed that, but we've always felt nothing but great support from AFL and, in particular Gil and Richard. So I think that statement was profound, and I think it put to bed a lot of the doubts that some people might have had, and then we could get about our business.
Is there a little bit of responsibility with a few people, immediately when the finance situation was thrown out there saying, oh, we'll cut the Suns? Is there a little bit of responsibility to try and get it right to justify your existence when you come back or not?
I don't think that's our motivation. We've got responsibility to get it right. That statement's very true, and that's where our energy is going. And I think from that, I guess, it's a bit like a game. You try and get your processes right, and the result takes care of itself. So I think the justification will be over time, and I think that we've put some good things in place in the last couple of years, and we were looking forward to the season, but it's going to look a little bit different. But I think with that comes some opportunities as well to try some new things as an industry and as a club. So when you look at it that way, it can be exciting when we get up and going.
So Tom Harley's put his hand up for a hub in Sydney. Justin Longmuir's put his hand up for a hub in Perth. Are you putting your hand up as well?
Yeah, we're all putting a hand up. But no, I think, we're generally putting a hand up. We think with the climate, the facilities, not only ovals, but also accommodation options, I think it is an attractive place up here, and it'd be a good opportunity to further the brand of AFL in this region, whilst other sports are, in a little bit of hurt. So I think, we'll put our hand up, no doubt about that. But in the end, I think the main thing is that we can all get underway, but we'd be very happy to host up here.
Do you think it'll be a good idea even to host games that don't involve the Gold Coast Suns? Because we talk about the AFL, making crowd maximisation their number one priority when it comes to the placing of football games around Australia. That's suddenly not a priority. It's just actually having a good isolated venue where teams are going to have a good service. And you've got great facilities right there, and it's isolated, and it's a fantastic service, and the weather's going to be spectacular during the depths of winter as well.
You got me convinced, Dwayne. I think, that's our case we're mounting, both from a, Metricon stadium, obviously the Gabba, but we're a little bit biased. Here at Metricon, there's training grounds for teams that if they're up here. So I think it'd be a fantastic thing that, in the middle of winter, if it is, if we're playing in August, it's certainly winter bypasses southeast Queensland. So it's a pretty good spot to play some AFL and showcase that across the telecast.
And have you been given a briefing at all yet on what it might look like when you travel away to a hub, what it might look like in terms of what you can do staying in a hotel, whether you can take family, all those kinds of things?
Not as yet. Not the finer details. I guess the only briefing we've got is that they are investigating what these might look like. Whether that's all in one state or in a couple of different states or territories. So all the minor details, I think we're all keen to ask them, but we're also mindful that there's bigger ticket items to start with first, and obviously we'll wait for some news, which we anticipate probably the first week of May or thereabouts.
So the first week, so you've kind of told your players, even though there's no firm date, to get yourself ready to come back to the state that first week of May, and to plan for whatever you need to plan for to have the quarantine period if you need to?
Yeah, that's when we were expecting, I guess, the next kind of update from the AFL. And from there, I think we've got 40 or 41 lads in southeast Queensland at the moment. So the 10 players that are interstate, once we've got a little bit more information, we're starting to work with those guys and prepare them to come back. A couple of guys went home and came back already, so that transition was pretty seamless. They did their quarantine, and it's changing, isn't it? In a couple of weeks, they may not have to do that, depending on where they've lived. So we'll just hold fire on that and wait for a little bit more information.
And I know you've probably heard a bit of the conversation. Dave Matthews raised the possibility of private ownership at the Giants as, something that they might consider looking into. Would you care if a club like the Gold Coast was, and you were coaching it, was privately owned? Would it make any difference to a coach and a player who owned the club, or whether it's owned by the AFL in essence?
I think it could potentially be a little bit more volatile. Having a little bit more time, Dwayne, watching a couple of these docos of, Sunderland Till I Die, and I even watched the one on Amazon. Is it the 4-year plan of Queen's Park Rangers? Well, that'd be pretty scary. They went through 6 managers in about 5 months. So there is some downside to private ownership. So, we're very happy where we sit at the moment.
Yeah, it is tricky, because if you get an owner that's willing to spend heaps of dough on everything surrounding football, then you've got to win. But if you get an owner that suddenly loses the excitement factor, it becomes a bit of a worry, and that translates into a worry for the players and the coach too, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's, we've probably strived really hard for stability through the football club. given their previous history. And I think, you know, the last couple of years, we feel like, you know, particularly in leadership positions, we've got that stability, and now we just need to get our head down and bum up and get to work. And then the last piece of the puzzle is out on the field.
And there's been a bit of talk about this 17-round season. I haven't bought into it. I don't believe any of it, that it's, you know, not going to be a legitimate season. If you win the flag, it's going to have an asterisk on it. We know that the Bombers won a flag in 1990 when there was only 20 games in the season. So there wasn't a 22-game season then anyway. 17 makes no difference. It might even be worth more, this flag, in time.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to say it might have an asterisk for a good reason, because this is going to be a challenging one, and how players and staff and football clubs are handling, not just when we come back, but this whole period now. If you win the flag this year, you've certainly earned it. So it would be no less than for sure. I think you made a good point. It's almost, it's going to be harder because it's just going to look so different, and it'll be one that everyone can look back on in time and reflect on, and I guess there'll be a lot of lessons learnt too.
And no one expects you to win the flag, even though I would never ask a coach to, you know, say that he doesn't expect to win one, because every coach should go into it thinking, well, the world's a possibility. It's the Lord Christmas. As there's a one in a million chance, then it's a chance. But could it be the making of the Gold Coast Suns as a club if he made the finals this year, Stuart? Could be at a turning point moment if you were able to do it somehow, even if it's in a top 10 situation.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, any club that makes the finals is a great achievement. I think at times that can be underestimated, but as we've seen with clubs that have been anchored towards the bottom, you know, and when I say bottom, the bottom 10, and not making finals, it's a significant milestone. So, you know, that's certainly what we're working for, and depending on how this year looks, you know, there's going to be opportunities, we don't want to hide from that, and we want to make sure we're talking to our leaders all the time about this. This could be a really big opportunity. The game's going to look different. It could be 4 or 5 days apart, and that may suit us. It may not. But what we want to make sure is that we're ready to go.
So you think with the younger players it might suit you, the shorter turnaround and your list that you've got?
Well, I think we could, I guess with the, if the game's going to be less and, you know, significantly, you know, 20 or 30 minutes less, that will allow us to play. We have got a young list, and we're always mindful. I think we had, you know, 6 or 7 guys under 20 in round one, which is, you know, a third of your side. That's big. But if the games continue to be that time limit, we think they're going to be able to adjust quicker to AFL football and be able to back up a lot quicker, which, you know, is going to be good. It's good for the game. You know, hopefully the best players can play that frequently as well. So, you know, I think the feedback from our guys around the length of the game was really good. But obviously we need a bigger sample size.
Yeah, and what an achievement it would be for you to have your hands on the wheel, or for this group of players to achieve a final series for the first time ever for the club.
Yeah, I think that's what we're always striving for. We talk about final standard training, preparation, and performance. So, you know, we know that there's some measuring sticks in the league, and we're chasing them down. So we don't want to sit there and be intimidated by that. We want to learn from it and also test ourselves and go into games and look to knock off teams that have played, you know, regular finals football. And I think that's when, you know, teams can start making that step. And that's what we're constantly referring to and preparing for.
Great to have a chat to you, Stewie. It's nice to hear the positivity in your voice. You sound fairly excited.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty excited, Dwayne. You've got to look at the positives, don't you? I think each little update we get from the AFL, you start to sniff the footy season around the corner. So, yeah, just talking to a few of the lads now, that's the thing you miss, the energy you get from your players. And myself and our high-performance managers had a bit of a Zoom meeting with our leaders, and, you know, they're all up and about. And Big Witsy's just had a baby, so he's on cloud nine, although he did say he had about 2 hours sleep, so he looked a bit doughy. But that's why we love, you know, working in this industry. You do get energy off others, and that's what we've missed.
Yeah, music to my soul to hear your energy, Stuart. Great to have a chat to you, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Dwayne.